Hello once again, my fellow white racial comrades. Welcome to another episode of In Clawson We Trust, the White Power Hour with Reverend Matt Hale. I'm very pleased to be with you once again on this, the 23rd of January in the 29th year of our beloved white racial religion creativity. Our address is P.O. Box 2002, East Peoria, Illinois, 61611. Be sure to obtain your copy of Nature's Eternal Religion, the greatest book in the history of the world, a book that will fully and thoroughly explain to you why we are facing the situation we are facing in today as white people, a situation in which our very biological, genetic, and cultural existence is threatened by the inferior mud races as well as white traitors, white turncoats, who are placing money before the interests of you and I. This is a book that oftentimes people might talk about. They might even have it on their shelf, but they need to read it. You need to read it, my brother and sister. Also, the White Man's Bible. The White Man's Bible, of course, has been widely publicized. Many times when I give television interviews and radio interviews, I will talk about the White Man's Bible. The White Man's Bible is also an awesome book. I rate Nature's Eternal Religion as being even better. But the White Man's Bible, of course, has a very catchy title. And we need to have a Bible for white people. And this is it. The White Man's Bible and Nature's Eternal Religion compose the two main Bibles of our religious faith. Well, speaking of faith, we are on this particular episode going to be talking about Christianity. Now, for many out there, maybe many of you listening, this is somewhat of a touchy topic. There are many in the white racial movement, for example, who wish to retain Christianity, but oppose the Jews and oppose the mud races. They do so because of tradition more than anything. Because it is hard, of course, for someone to shake the religion that has been taught to them since they were babies in the crib. A religion that has been thoroughly propagated to them since they were children. A religion that has been prayed as being good and holy and noble is hard to disclaim or forsake. Well, on this particular episode, it is my intent to demonstrate to you, my brother and sister, that we need a better religion, that Christianity is not the truth, that Christianity is not a natural creed, that Christianity instead is a religion foisted upon us by our enemies, the Jews, who foisted Christianity upon us to weaken us, to divide us, to confuse, diffuse, and abuse, as I like to say. A religion which first, in ancient Rome, caused the collapse of the great white Roman civilization and is currently involved and is currently destroying the entire white race through its teachings. Now, the question might be asked, why? Why even talk about Christianity at all? When you have a situation in which, like I say, a sizable amount of the pro-white movement is Christian, why talk about Christianity? Well, first of all, the amount of individuals who truly practice Christianity are minuscule. Most people do not practice all of Christianity, with good reason, because Christianity is very much anti-nature, very much against the real world. And furthermore, we believe very strongly that the white race cannot continue to survive as long as it embraces a religion like Christianity. If white people, for example, believe that Jesus is their savior and Jesus was a Jew, they cannot be expected to oppose the Jews. It's very simple. It's a very elementary concept. If you believe that your God is a Jew, you are not going to resist the Jews. It's as simple as that. If you believe that the nigger race is your fellow human and that Jesus loves you both, and that God loves all, then it's going to be harder for you, or for the white people in general out there, to adopt a pro-white, vehemently racist platform as we espouse. Put another way, if you believe that the blacks are your equals, and that all races are God's children, you're not going to be very apt to fight to remove the nigger race from America, are you? If you believe that blacks are simply God's children and that we should love them, how are you going to resist them? Now, a person on the other side of the fence, a Christian person, might say, well, yes, we love them, but we still want separation. That does not cut it, my brother and sister. It does not cut it to say that, well, we love the other races, but we just want to be separate from them. That's not love. That would not be love. If we love the nigger race, then we should be integrated with them. Obviously, though, we don't love the nigger race. We don't love the mud races. That is the most honest position to take. No, of course we don't love the other races. And I have to say this, that when you have a situation where racists are claiming that somehow blacks are okay, but they're just pro-white, that we're pro-white, but we don't hate blacks, that's nonsense. Of course we hate the blacks. Of course we hate the mud races. There's nothing wrong with hating them. And that brings up another point. That brings up another fact about Christianity, is that Christianity teaches you and I to love our enemies. It says that in there. Pray for your persecutors, love your enemies, love your neighbor as yourself, even if your neighbor happens to be a nigger, for example. No, we don't believe that this is healthy. This isn't healthy. This is not the wise course of action for white people to take. Now let's back up a bit. In order to properly understand Christianity, in order to properly understand the role of Christianity in destroying white people in this world, we have to back up to the very origin of Christianity. And the origin of Christianity is, as most people would admit and realize, Jewish. The Jews began Christianity. Christianity did not begin in Europe, in other words. Christianity is not a religion of Germans, a religion of Russians, a religion of Frenchmen. Christianity is a religion of Jews. It was founded by the Jews, founded specifically by the Essenes. Their teachings were copied from the Essenes, which lived from 100 B.C. to 100 A.D. Now, let me say at this point that the information I am going to be broadcasting to you on this program, all of it can be found in those two books I mentioned earlier, Nature's Eternal Religion and the White Man's Bible, in much, much more detail. It'd take me hours and hours to read all of the contents of these books, and I'm not going to do so on this program because I think it would be too repetitious in that sense. I think that the best thing for you to do is to get these books. So I will give you the highlights of these books, the summation of these books when it comes to Christianity. But as Ben Klassen talks about in Nature's Eternal Religion, the Essenes, a Jewish cult that existed living next to the Dead Sea from 100 B.C. to 100 A.D., essentially practiced what is known today as Christianity. It wasn't called Christianity then because they didn't believe in a Jesus Christ, and I'll be getting to why a little later, but they taught, for example, that we should be extremely pious, that we should individuals who don't judge others. We should resist not evil. We should pray for our persecutors. We should turn the other cheek. They were pacifists very strongly. They lived communally. They gave away all their possessions. They shunned sexual relations, and they quickly died out as a result, etc. They were a Jewish cult that practiced what became essentially Christianity. Well, let's look at some of these teachings. Now, it should be enough, actually, the fact that Christianity was not a religion of white people, that Christianity was founded by Jews in the Middle East. That in itself is enough reason not to be a Christian, we submit. We should not accept any belief system that does not come from our people. We should not especially accept a religion from our enemies, the Jews. But let me get to this as well. The Old Testament of the Holy Bible, so-called, I like to call it the Holy Babel, but the Old Testament is a book that is clearly designed to advance the Jewish people. If you read in Deuteronomy 7, for example, it talks about the Jews being the chosen people above all the people of the earth. And they say throughout the Old Testament that the enemies of the Jews are the enemies of God, etc. And all over the Old Testament, which does compose three-quarters of the Christian Bible, you have tales of Jewish individuals slaughtering non-Jews and Jewish wars against non-Jews, and etc. So it is thoroughly a book of the Jews. As Ben Clausen, our founder of our religion, Creativity, points out, the Jews invented the Old Testament to unify the Jews, to give the Jews a sense of purpose and history, to give them, in fact, a history that is untrue, but a history nonetheless, to help bind together the Jewish people. However, the New Testament is a book written by Jews for us, not for Jews, for non-Jews. And the evidence of this is overwhelming. In fact, there was a fellow named Paul, probably heard of him, original name was Saul of Tarsus, who aggressively promoted the teachings of the New Testament to the Roman people, and the result of the onset of Christianity in the Roman Empire was the destruction of the Roman Empire shortly thereafter. It wasn't until 313 AD in which Constantine declared Christianity the supreme religion of the Roman Empire that Rome really followed Christianity. And only 150 years later, the Roman Empire that had up until then survived for about 1,000 years was destroyed, disintegrated. Now, let's get to the teachings, more about the teachings of Christianity and creativity. In fact, the differences between the two religions. Creativity, our religion, is a religion that is life-oriented, while Christianity is a religion that is death-oriented. Now, let's explain this. Creativity is worried about life on this world, life here, because, after all, there is no evidence that another world exists. There is no evidence of an afterlife. In fact, we submit there is no such thing. There is no afterlife. There is this life. There is this world. There is not a never-never land. There is not a place where you go and you play a harp on a cloud and sing hosannas. There is this world, the real world, the world that you can see with your senses and experience with your existence. Our symbol, for example, is a W with a crown above it and a halo above that. A religion of the white race, a symbol of the white race, the fact that we regard our race as being holy, our bloodlines as being holy. The crown symbolizes the fact that we are the elite of nature's realm. That's our symbol. The Christian symbol, however, is a symbol of death, a symbol of a cross, which was used, a commonly used instrument of torture when Jesus Christ supposedly lived. We submit that we should have a religion of life, not of death. There are individuals, though, in the Christian religion that spend all their lives worrying about whether or not they will go to heaven, a place, once again, that does not exist. It is a fairy tale. And yet, they have such torment and such angst, so to speak, such agony about the prospect of going to hell, another place that does not exist. So, getting back to the original point, creativity is a life-oriented religion, while Christianity is a death-oriented religion. What other differences between Christianity or creativity and Christianity? As mentioned earlier, creativity, well, I shouldn't say mentioned earlier, but creativity believes that the white race is the pinnacle of nature's creation because overwhelming evidence demonstrates this fact. However, Christianity is Jew-oriented and believes that the Jews are God's chosen people. This is a very important difference between the two religions. In fact, getting back or focusing on Christianity alone, any religion that extols the enemies of our people is a bad religion in its own right. There wouldn't even need to be anything else. But a religion that says that if the Jews are God's chosen people and that the Jews can do no wrong and the Jews are just wonderful, that is a religion that is bad for white people for obvious reasons if those white people wish to resist Jewish domination of their land, of their society. We have to accept the fact that without Christianity, the Jews would not be near along their plan and objective of destroying our white people. Christianity has been absolutely tremendous for them in that regard. Christianity has set white people against white people, essentially over religion created by Jews. Christianity has weakened our resolve to have a Jew-free society for the simple reason that our supposed Savior was a Jew. Put another way, how can we white racial loyalists expect a white person to go to church on a Sunday, a Christian church, be told that the Jews are God's chosen people, and then on Monday and the rest of the week, expect that person to resist the Jews? It is impossible. It does not happen. It cannot happen. And I can't even tell you how many people have told me over the years that the races are equal and that God loves all the races, etc., and that Jesus was a Jew and that therefore our creed is wrong, that we're wrong because God loves everybody and Jesus was a Jew. Well, take Jesus out of the situation, out of the equation, take God out of the equation, point out the fact and realize the fact that there is no God and that there is no Jesus, and that all of this is mythological, and what does the anti-racist mentality have left? What can they say? They can't use God anymore as an excuse for their beliefs. They can't say that, well, my Savior is a Jew, so therefore I love Jews, if there is no Savior. So that needs to be mentioned as well. What else does Christianity believe that we object to? Well, Christianity believes in the inferior of society. We creators believe in the superior of society. We believe, for example, in eugenics very strongly. We believe in upgrading, improving future generations. We believe in becoming more intelligent, more talented, more gifted, more articulate, more great than we were previously. We don't believe in going down like Christianity teaches. And let me explain why Christianity has that teaching. Well, for example, Christianity teaches that the meek shall inherit the earth. Is this really so? Do the meek really inherit anything but a boot on their neck? No. The meek have always been destroyed, have always been dominated, and they should be. The meek shall inherit nothing. The whole idea of the meek is ridiculous, that somehow they are going to inherit the earth. No. However, we can say this, that Christianity has resulted in more meek people. There are people all over the place that grovel before the Jews, grovel before the niggers, because they want to be good Christians, and it teaches them the Christian Bible to be meek, and to give your enemy what you have, to pray for your persecutor, to judge not, and to resist not evil. So you can see how Christianity is anti-white also in that regard. In other words, if you believe that the meek shall inherit the earth, and that blessed are the poor in spirit, as it also says in Christianity, in the Christian teaching, in Matthew, to be exact, in the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7, which I would certainly refer you to read further about the Christian teaching and their distilled, very strong distilled essence. There's no doubt that if you believe in the poor in spirit, that they are blessed, and the meek, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. If you believe that, then, yeah, your nigger criminal out there, or your nigger wino in the street, yeah, he's good. That's what's teaching. It's teaching that the nigger race is to be blessed, and anyone who's meek and inferior and shiftless and etc. is somehow to be exalted. Another part of Christianity, and I don't even have the exact passage in front of me, but we've all heard this before, that a person should be humble. That's what we're taught. That's what Christianity teaches. It's good to be humble. It's bad to be proud. I've heard Christians say this over and over again, that oh gosh, the World Church of the Creator, one of the reasons why they're so bad is because they're proud of themselves. No! It's good to be proud of yourself. If you deserve to be proud of yourself, be proud of yourself. Work to improve yourself. There's nothing wrong with being haughty in that regard. And there is something wrong with being humble. To hell with being humble. We shouldn't want to be groveling, simpering fools. We should not want to be individuals that hold our hat in hand and grovel ourselves. No, we should be proud of ourselves and hold our heads high instead of being humble and meek and etc. Now what else? When it comes to natural instincts, our religion of creativity teaches white people to embrace their natural instincts, to love their friends, for example, and hate their enemies. There's nothing more natural than that. Christianity, on the other hand, says to love your enemies and hate your friends, essentially. Look up Luke 14:26. You will read how Christ is saying that the family units should hate one another, and if you don't hate your mother, your father, and yea, all your brethren, you cannot become my disciple. That's what it actually says in Luke 14:26. Look it up, if you will. Well, we don't believe in hating our family. We believe that such ideology, such a teaching, is absolutely asinine, absolutely detrimental. And I repeat, it says in Luke 14:26 the following: if any man cometh to me and hate not his mother, his father, and yea, all his brethren, he cannot become my disciple. That is Jesus Christ supposedly saying that. Well, we would rather hate our enemies and love our family. That's what we creators believe. We don't believe that in order to follow this Jewish God, we should hate our mother, or hate our father, or hate our siblings. No, it's a very negative, asinine teaching. And there's another reason for rejecting Christianity as a religion. What else? What else? Certainly the idea of judging. Obviously, we judge every day. Healthy, normal, natural people judge the world around them. It's only natural to judge. If you see someone in the street, for example, just imagine you see somebody with a gun shooting at people at a supermarket tomorrow. Of course you're going to judge that person. You're going to say, hey, there's a scoundrel, there's a scumbag, there's a criminal out there who is killing people, shooting at people, he's a scumbag. Let's get him, let's stop him. You're judging him. Christianity, on the other hand, says, no, judge not. Don't judge. Don't make a determination as to whether somebody is good or bad. Only God can do that. Nonsense, once again. Now, let's relate all of this more firmly to our white racial cause. There is nothing about the Christian Bible, the Holy Bible, so-called, that has anything at all to do with the white racial loyalist cause. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. The Old Testament is a book of the Jews, a book of our enemies. The New Testament is a book that was written by Jews that was pushed upon white people to destroy them with obvious effectiveness. And let me back up first and talk about that for a few minutes. When you look at the record of Christianity, we have to admit that it has been tremendously effective for the Jews in their plan of achieving world conquest. White people have killed each other left and right over this teaching. White people have divided themselves every which way. You got your Protestants versus your Catholics. You have the Anglicans versus the Catholics. You have Calvinists. You have various denominations that are all divided, all paying homage, once again, to a Jewish God that does not exist. So you have this teaching that has caused numerous wars. Certainly throughout history, we've all heard of various wars. We have the 30 Years' War in Germany that killed about two-thirds of the population. You have the war between Catholics and Protestants. Even to this day in Ireland, for example, you'll have the Catholics shooting at the Protestants and the Protestants shooting at the Catholics. You have the situation in the former country of Yugoslavia, in which you had the Croatians fighting the Serbs. The Serbs were Orthodox and the Croatians were not, and it was somewhat of a religious war. It was also a nationalistic war as well, but religion was a big part of it. There have been many wars throughout the centuries over the Christian religion. And you have the situation, of course, in which right now, and I talked about this earlier, you have the situation in which the main argument opposing white racial loyalty is that of Christianity. There's no getting around it. There's no getting around the fact that right now, for example, there are white women who are imbued with Christianity and feel that, hey, as long as my black mate is a good Christian, it's okay to breed with this person. Of course, it's sick, but that's what's happening. Christianity, no matter what it once was, no matter what some people may try to make it into, is a colorblind religion. And any creed that is colorblind is automatically bad for white people. You do not maintain the existence of white people in this world by embracing a religion that says that we're all God's children. Bottom line. Now, I want to talk about this point, the phenomenon called identity Christianity. Identity Christianity is popular in the white racial movement, fairly anyway. There are some people who believe in it. Many do not. Most do not. But some do. And what identity Christianity says is that white people are the true Jews of the Bible. White people are the true Israelites, and that the Jews somehow usurped the Old Testament and the New Testament and made it into their teaching when really it's a white man's teaching. This is foolhardy. This is ridiculous. Christian identity is an attempt by well-meaning individuals to salvage Christianity for fear of instead embracing an entirely new creed. It is always difficult, for example, for most people, it is very difficult to go against the grain. It is very difficult for a person who has been taught since they were a child that the Holy Bible is holy to suddenly reject it. And so what these people do, what the Christian identity people do, is they say, no, wait a minute, it's okay. You can keep the Christian Bible on your bookshelf. It's okay to embrace the teachings because white people actually wrote it. Well, this is untrue. And after this short break we have to take here for a changing of the tape or putting the tape on side B, I will explain in detail why Christian identity is false. Okay, we're back, talking about Christianity, talking about the fact that Christianity is a religion not of our race, and how Christianity, even more importantly in this sense, is hostile to the continued existence of white people in this world. Which, of course, is something that a lot of Christians will admit. A lot of Christians will say, hey, I want all the races to mix, and so that, you know, there aren't any more races, and white people don't exist anymore, and that's fine with God, because all that really matters is praising God anyway. There are Christians who will say this. And they are excellent testimonials to what I am saying on this program. But let me get back to Christian identity, or identity Christianity, as it's obviously called as well. There are so many flaws with Christian identity that it's hard to even know where to begin. First of all, the very notion that the identity Christians postulate that white people originated in Palestine, and that Europe was uninhabited, as they claim, when Jesus was walking around, or maybe not when Jesus was walking around, but when the Old Testament was written, and that white people migrated from Palestine into Europe and colonized Europe from Palestine, is ridiculous. It is completely contravening all the archaeological evidence, all the linguistic evidence that exists, all the anthropological evidence that exists. White people have lived in Europe perhaps forever. White people have been there for hundreds of thousands of years. White people did not suddenly migrate from Israel to Europe, and yet that's what they teach. Second of all, linguistics, as I mentioned. The Hebrew language that the Old Testament was written in has absolutely nothing to do with white people. It is not a white language. If you have ever heard Hebrew, spoken Hebrew, it is a terrible, ear-shattering language. It is absolutely devoid of quality. It is absolutely different from Indo-European languages, Aryan languages. There is a heck of a difference between German and Hebrew, I can assure you. The Hebrew language is a language of the Jews, essentially. It is has always been a language of the Jews, not of white people. And the Jews have never been white people. The Jews are Semites, and Semites are not white. They are a separate race. They are oftentimes a mongrelized race, but they are not white, no matter what way you look at it. What else disproves the idea that Christianity is a white religion from the aspect or from the viewpoint of the identity Christian? Well, the teachings themselves are not of the white race. The whole idea of turning the other cheek, of resisting not evil, of judging not lest you be judged, of being a pacifist, essentially, is not white. White people are not naturally pacifists. We are not naturally individuals that simply sit down on our knees and let our enemies kill us. That is not how white people became masters of the world. We did not come to this country, for example, and just pray for our persecutors and resist not evil and turn the other cheek. No, if the Indians shot arrows at us, we would kill them. In fact, we killed them without them shooting arrows at us oftentimes. We fought them. We drove them out of this land. We threw them on reservations. And that's fine. So I guess that brings up another point, that America was hardly founded on Christian principles. What Christian principle? You hear that a lot. A lot of people want to say, well, America was founded as a Christian nation, and America was founded on Christian principles. What Christian principles? I can't name one. Can anyone name one? Just one. Christian principle that America was founded on, it doesn't exist. Let's look at the record. Coming here, conquering this land, that's not Christian. Christianity teaches to, once again, resist not evil and pray for your persecutor and judge not and turn the other cheek and give all thou have and sell it to the poor and that kind of thing. Sell all thou hast and give it to the poor. That's one of the sayings in the Christian Bible, in the New Testament. How many of the founding fathers did that? How many founding fathers came here and sold everything they had and then gave the money to the poor? How many of your Christian ministers do that? None of them. You know why they don't? Because obviously it would be very counterproductive to do so. That you don't maintain your own existence by giving everything away. That there is some obligation to yourself, and it's absolutely unnatural for anyone to divest themselves of what is rightfully theirs. What other teachings? Well, you can look at the Old Testament and realize very clearly that the Old Testament is a Jewish, has a Jewish foundation. That's a religion that is a history, so-called, for the Jews and for the Jews alone, not for white people. And it's very much a part of Christian identity, philosophy of religion, that the Old Testament is somehow a history of the white race. They talk about Adam being the man who can blush, and how Abraham was the father of many nations, and that all these people are white people. It's nonsense, because if nothing else, the very teaching that is espoused in the Old Testament is absolutely Jewish to the core. Now let me give some details about this. How about the story of Abraham and Sarah? How about how Abraham pawned off his wife Sarah to get money and oxen and everything else from the Pharaoh? He was, in other words, being a pimp, and Sarah being a whore. There's just no getting around that. That's what the Old Testament says. That he actually sold his wife, which happened to be his half-sister, by the way, to the Pharaoh, gave his wife over, and got all this material goodies as a result. Then you have the situation of Lot and his daughters, how Lot was drunken and had sex with his daughters. And you have the situation of David and Uriah, how here we have this David, king of the Jews, this wonderful Jewish hero who sends his most loyal man into battle, into the front line, so he can have his wife, Rebecca, I believe her name was. I've lost track. I think it was Rebecca. But in any case, David is esteemed, of course, by the Jews. You have the Star of David. You have them talking about how great David was, etc. Well, there's nothing white about that teaching. The entire Old Testament is full of lurid stories like that. Stories of rape, stories of incest, stories of theft. It's a Jewish history. There's nothing more Jewish than, for example, pawning off your wife to get riches. That is Jewish. There's nothing more Jewish than having your most loyal comrade sent into battle so that he can get killed so he can have his wife. There's nothing more Jewish than the countless stories. For example, the situation with Moses and how God is sending all these plagues upon the Egyptians so that his people will go, etc. The whole thing is just simply Jewish mythology. And so that's part of the problem with identity Christianity, is they want to take a religion that clearly, without question, is a Jewish religion and transform it into a white religion, basically because they're afraid to stand on their own two feet and embrace a truly white religion such as creativity. And of course, there are certainly identity Christians out there who don't know about creativity. They haven't looked into creativity, and they haven't fervently or thoroughly examine their own religion, because if they read the Old Testament, read about the animal sacrifices, for example, what kind of God would demand that his creation sacrifice an animal? Well, the good news is that no such God would demand such a thing, because no such God exists, and yet that's part of the Old Testament. What kind of God would smile upon the Jews to go into a city such as Jericho and leave nothing alive? And that's what it says in there. Go to Jericho and leave nothing alive. And so the Jews go into this city and they kill everybody in sight. That's not, that is not a white teaching. That is a religion that exalts and espouses Jewish supremacy. Well, what about this business of Jesus? You hear these people say that, well, Jesus had blonde hair and blue eyes. Well, there's no evidence of this, once again. It's not in the Christian Bible. There's no talk about blonde hair and blue eyes. And furthermore, we have the situation, the good situation, in which, in reality, Jesus never even existed. Now, that might be a surprise to you. You might be thinking, well, of course, I don't believe in Christianity, but yeah, there's somebody named Jesus, and he did this and that. No, he didn't exist. And there are a number of reasons for us stating this as part of our religion creativity that, no, Jesus is a figment of imagination. First of all, you have the situation in which the Romans made no recorded mention of Jesus whatsoever in their histories of the period, of the time. Or put another way, not one Roman writer contemporaneously with the supposed existence of Jesus Christ wrote about Jesus Christ. You didn't have a situation where a Roman person was saying, hey, okay, this is happening here, this is happening there, and by the way, this is happening here in Judea with a person named Jesus who's performing this or doing this or being crucified here. There's no record of it at all outside of the Christian Bible, which we would add is extremely dubious. Almost all of the information contained within it, outside of the Christian Bible and writings that occurred decades after Jesus Christ's supposed tenure on this planet, there's no evidence, there's no written record of Jesus Christ at all. And that includes the Roman census. The Romans took a census of the population of the area of Jesus Christ's supposed existence, and lo and behold, there's no mention of Jesus Christ. And this was even mentioned in U.S. News and World Report, which I'm not going to tout U.S. News and World Report. We, of course, know that most of the magazines out there are controlled by Jews. But on that particular issue, they were right, that they admitted that, no, there is no actual evidence he ever lived. That's the first thing to mention about that. As our founder, Ben Clausen, also said, you would think that if this amazing event was occurring, in which Jesus Christ is healing people, is walking on water, is turning water into wine, or what have you, doing all these amazing things, you would imagine somebody somewhere doing a painting of him, doing a sculpture of him, some kind of artwork of some kind of written notes, something. And yet we have nothing. There's nothing at all. Now, what is the reality of the situation? The reality is that Christianity was not actually put together until 300 years after the supposed existence of Jesus Christ. Or put another way, Christianity was not formulated as an actual religion with a Bible, etc., until 313 AD when Constantine declared Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire. At the Council of Nicaea in 313, they got together, the individuals that were espousing Christian principles got together and finally hashed out what is known as the Holy Bible. They added some things, they subtracted some things, and the final product was the Holy Bible. Well, once again, while the teachings, I mentioned this earlier on this episode, while the teachings were present in the Essenes cult, the Jewish cult, as early as 100 BC, they were not actually codified until a few hundred years after that at the Council of Nicaea by Constantine and bishops and others who espoused similar beliefs. So we don't have any writings of Jesus Christ. We don't have any hard evidence that he ever existed. Even the apostles, the disciples, we don't even know their real names or last names. We just have Mark, Luke, John, Peter, that kind of thing. We don't actually have their names. We have no proof that they even existed. We have proof, however, that a person by the name of Paul existed. who is originally known as Saul of Tarsus. We have proof that he existed, and he peddled Christianity to the Roman Empire. And the Roman soldiers and the Roman people in general began to buy this religion and accept this religion, and the result was catastrophic for the white race and for Europe specifically. Well, my brothers and sisters, that's the basic situation with Christianity in a nutshell. I once again would urge you to read Nation of Eternal Religion and the White Man's Bible to obtain the full story on Christianity. And in particular, read the chapter Why We Indict Christianity So Strongly. That is in the White Man's Bible. We talk about the fact that Christianity's caused so many wars, as I mentioned earlier. We talk about the fact that Christianity has indulged in torture of its opponents. We talk about the Saxons, for example, who Charlemagne, the Christian zealot, was determined to make bow before him and his so-called God, and killed thousands and thousands of them. Of course, throughout our books, we talk about how, once again, Christianity emasculates the white race. Christianity makes white people soft. So many people, you just ask them, ask somebody why they oppose racism, they're going to tell you something about God. They're going to tell you that God loves everyone, and Jesus is a Jew, and the Jews are God's chosen people, and what's that little saying, that little song that they indoctrinate the kids with? We're all equal, black, yellow, white, we're all precious in His sight, something like that. That doesn't exist for nothing. I mean, Christianity, while at one time it's true, at one time the Christians were not exactly engaging in race mixing, that is true. The natural consequence of accepting the nigger, the gook, the Jew, the mestizo as your equal, as a co-religionist, as a fellow religionist, as a fellow believer in Jesus Christ, a Jew, is that you're going to race mix it with them. You're going to destroy your biological, genetic, and cultural existence. And for that reason alone, if there are nothing else, and there's plenty else, we should reject this religion. Our founder, Ben Crossan, believed very strongly that unless the white race shears off this Christian religion, we are doomed as a people. I believe that as well. I believe that all creators believe that we cannot afford to embrace teachings that are so diametrically opposed to our own. We are not going to do, though, also what other organizations do. And while we, of course, shake the hands of all those who believe in the white race, regardless of religion, we have to take issue with the idea of giving lip service to Christianity without practicing it themselves. I don't know of any white man, for example, that can be hit on one side of his face and will turn the other side to his attacker. I don't think, for example, in York, Pennsylvania, when the anti-racists tried to attack our people, that anybody prayed for their persecutor or got on their knees before him. I don't know of any white people that are worth their salt who would embrace their enemies. We believe in destroying our enemies. We don't believe in giving them what is ours. And Christianity has been, as I've said several times already, an incredible force of those who oppose the continued existence of white people upon the face of this planet. Well, the great news, of course, is that we have creativity instead. A religion that exalts in white people and does not debase them. A religion that embraces nature and not the sick religion of Christianity. We have a religion, and we have some interruptions going on in the background, some phone calls ringing. That's giving me cause for pause. But in any case, we have a religion that is for white people in all things at all times, and that rejoices in life, rejoices in this world, and does not worry about the next world. Well, on this program, I hope that I have presented to you the facts, the evidence, the wisdom to stand for a better religion, creativity, over Christianity. We need a religion that is of, for, and by our people, and not a religion of, for, and by the Jews. We need a religion that believes in racial purity and not racial mongrelization. We have it with creativity. We have it with our 16 commandments, not the 10 commandments. We have it with nature's eternal religion, the white man's Bible. Our address, once again, P.O. Box 2002, East Peoria, Illinois, 61611. Be sure to contact us today. Send me an email as well at pmhale1@aol.com. Let us join together today so that we may win this racial holy war. Rahoa!